morning.
Good morning.
I couldn't help but smile this morning as I saw the song that Malik chose before my lesson this morning. I think that God works in mysterious ways. And when you look at the topic of our lesson this morning, Malik and I didn't call each other this morning, but this is the topic of my lesson. And so I just find it fascinating how, you know, we can just find such comfort in the hymns that we sing that can inspire us to write sermons about those hymns, as well as, of course, the verses of the Bible. But if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 10 and
verse 23, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, starting a verse for our lesson this morning, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I think that this verse needs to be heard loud and clear in the churches of Christ, as well as other denominational churches in this country, as well as all over this country. It is not in himself, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We need to understand, if you also look at chapter 46 of Psalms, chapter 46 and verse 3. These are familiar verses. It says, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Verse 10 is one we're very familiar with. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. One of the greatest things that we can remember about the Old Testament is it gives us a very vivid picture of the God of Jacob, the same God that we serve today under the New Testament dispensation. And so that's what I'd like to talk to you about this morning, is what God can do for us as Christians. And perhaps there's someone in attendance this morning who has not yet become a Christian. My hope is through this lesson that you will see that God has a plan for all of us, that he wants us to come to him, to be baptized, to become disciples of his son, Jesus Christ, and to live our lives dedicated to serving him. If you look at what Dorothy M. Nedermeyer said, it said, life is 10% what you experience and 90% how you respond to it. And I believe this is absolutely true. The response that people give to certain events definitely equals the outcome. That's what they teach in the business world, how you handle yourself in the sales rep and marketing world, how you respond to situations as a manager, as a college professor, or even an elementary school teacher in elementary school. My wife, she used to teach kids of all different age levels, and you had to handle yourself. You had to respond the appropriate way. And so there's no difference between that and the life that we live today. How we respond to things should be based upon what the Bible teaches. We should look at what God's word says first, and then we respond based on what God has given us for instruction. Now, I partly agree with this statement by Dan McMillan, or Millman, sorry. You don't have to control your thoughts. You just have to stop letting them control you. To a sense, I believe this is true, but I believe you can control your thoughts. I believe that there's that moment between when you see something that makes you want to sin and that moment when it enters your mind and you tell yourself, I'm not going to sin. I believe you can control your thoughts, but most importantly, I believe you can definitely stop letting your thoughts control you. Some people have a problem with lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When you stop letting the temptation, the desire to sin, stop controlling you, that's when you grow as a Christian, and that's what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. Without him, we can certainly do nothing. If you look at John chapter 15 and verse 5, these are all verses, hopefully, that we have all heard before. My goal is just to show you how simple the Word of God is, how it can help us in every single situation in life. When I think about Joshua, for example, who took on the responsibility of overseeing the people of Israel after Moses, the kind of strength that he needed when there were people who had the chance to enter into the promised land, who had that fear that they couldn't take the land, and so they missed out on that opportunity. Moses himself sinned and struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Joshua had to have a strength about himself. I think about David facing down Goliath and what kind of strength that involved as well. You know, he told Goliath that you come to me with this army of Philistines in your armor, but I come to you with the Almighty God. You know, that strength that he showed, it would have been something to be there to see that. John 15 and verse 5, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The problem that we see in the churches of Christ, as well as in the denominational world, is we want to make the Bible fit our needs versus the other way around. God has given us instruction, and therefore we are to listen to what the Bible says. Very similar to what Dee Dee was saying about Hezekiah, where the people wanted to go to the high places and bow down to the altars instead of look at the temple that God gave them. The dwelling place of God, the holy place, the most holy place, they had forgotten God. They had put their trust in these idol images. And there are so many denominations that are so focused on numbers and how can we get people into the building that they forget the commandments that God has given them. And the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth in the first place. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we are yet babes. If you look there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. One of the reasons why the Catholic Church ever was created in the first place was because the people forgot the responsibility of the eldership. They thought that one or two elders should be higher than the other. Next thing, they thought that one elder should be over all the other elders. In 604 AD, the Nicene Creed came about where it started the Catholic Church. And from there, we had the Protestant Reformation and all the different denominations, thousands and thousands of denominations that we have today. The problem was they remained babes in the Word of God, and they did not grow to understand what their responsibility was. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, And brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, that is worldly, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For we are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? So the problem plaguing the world, the Lord's church in this country today is worldliness. We can try our best to bring people into this building the way that God intended it, but there's a lot of people that say we need to be more like the world that's out there. We need to, you know, I had an opportunity to work in Lafayette, and there was a gentleman that talked to me about the church at Lafayette. I looked at Google on his website. There was a coffee shop, a donut shop. They had all kinds of gymnasiums and things, and I think that's not anywhere we don't need to have that anywhere near the Lord's church. When you walk into this room, you don't need to see a Starbucks. You know, you don't need to see all these worldly things. You need to see people who want to worship God in the right scriptural manner. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, if you turn there, please. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. How many of us can say that we study the Bible on a regular basis? How many of us can say that whatever we do during the day, we make time to open our Bible and look at God's Word and figure out a way to make ourselves better as human beings, especially as Christians? Because I have the Bible, I have exactly what God wants from my life. My life is not meant to have a massive bank account and be successful and have everybody know my name in this world. My mission in life is to be pleasing in the sight of the Almighty God. That's my mission. That's what God instructs us to do in His Word. But it says that we are to grow unto salvation. If you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. You know, we sang in the hymn, "Be with me, Lord." When you pray to God, do you believe that He is listening? When you pray to God, do you believe that it means something in your life? I think there's a lot of people that don't put a lot of trust and belief in their prayers. Otherwise, they wouldn't stop praying. You know, myself included, we have to remember to pray. That's how we build our relationship with God. On Wednesday night, we've been talking about conditions of the heart. And almost all those, I think we can see in the devil, Satan himself, that Satan is full of pride. Satan is full of trying to be the enemy of God. And when you look at those lessons that we've looked at, it's very easy to say, Satan looks just like this, according to the scriptures. And so we don't want to be like Satan. We want to do what God instructs us to do. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 again says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." That word sincere in the Greek is adelos, which means guileless and unadulterated, which means nobody has polluted that milk. So what does that mean when it comes to the Bible itself? What was the first, with the early church, what was the problem that arose among the church? Very briefly after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended back into heaven, false teachers arose among the brethren, right? False teachers arose among Christians in the church buildings or in the assemblies where they met. False teaching, false preaching, spreading lies about Jesus Christ Himself. And so as newborn babes desire the sincere milk, the pure milk, you know, we're not to look at the Book of Mormon or any other books that men and women have written. We're to look at the word that we have in front of us, the 66 books of the Bible, and we're to grow thereby. And the reason why we have to grow is because we are not once saved, always saved. We can sin, even as Christians. There are people that say, just because I've been baptized, I have a one-way ticket into heaven. I don't have to worry about a thing. God's not going to punish anybody. Lord willing, the second Sunday in August, when I get a chance to preach again, hopefully, I'm going to talk about eternity. I'm going to talk about what is going to happen between the moment the judgment happens and between when we stand before Jesus Christ. What is going to chronologically take place? That's what we're going to talk about. So we need to be able to defend ourselves when it comes to our belief in the day of judgment, when it comes to our belief that Jesus will come again with His innumerable host of angels, self-defense against the devil and his temptations and snares and wiles. Look at Ephesians, if you turn there, chapter 4 and verse 14. Once again, these are hopefully familiar verses that we've read many, many times. "What we hence therefore be, no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." The moment where we put us as the head of the church instead of Christ is the moment when we have lost the whole entire mission of the church itself. We have to learn how to defend the truth so that it doesn't come into this building and plague the Lord's church that meets here. We need to remember that when we are weak, we can be strong. One of the greatest things about being a Christian is it the strength of an individual spiritually doesn't have anything to do with me physically. I can be in a hospital bed and be incredibly strong in the Lord. I can be plagued with a trial that God is giving me in my life and remain strong in the Lord because I have those wonderful Old Testament and New Testament examples to look at. We were talking about the inspiring courage and dedication of Paul this morning in Jerusalem as he was preparing to enter into the barracks. He implored with the soldier, "Please let me speak to the people before you bring me into these barracks." And we learned about that. The moment when he could have been weak, he remained strong because he trusted the one true God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I believe that is absolutely true. When we go through moments of weakness, when we remember the hymns that we sing, Be With Me, Lord, for example, one of my favorites, that can bring us home in a world that is full of calamity. You know, that can help us remember exactly who is in charge, exactly what he has done for us, what the Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us. It gives us incredible strength within ourselves that the world doesn't really know a way to match. There's people that write books and make videos on YouTube that talk about self-building and encouragement, but nothing compares to the Word of God itself. When it comes to where do I go when I really need help, that's God and his Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, I'm sorry, 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Let me read that again. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Once again, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Paul knew a thing or two about persecution and weakness, but he remained strong in the Lord. Now, here's the thing we must remember as a country and as an individual member of the Lord's church, as a husband, as a wife, as a grandparent. When we are strong as people, then we can become very, very weak. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. You know, people tend to forget God when there's a lot of prosperity. And I know there's been preachers that have said that before. When we look around and we have everything that's accessible to us in this country, we completely block God out. And if we lost all those things tomorrow, I guarantee you we would all hit our knees to the ground and start praying. But why can't we be strong in moments when the whole country is strong? You know, why can't we be strong spiritually in the state of Indiana when things are going well, so to speak, with the economy? Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and increased in goods, or with goods, and have need of nothing, which we do say many, many times, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I would encourage you to think about the denominational churches, again, that have these massive buildings, stadiums full of people. They say, look at us, we're growing, we're so dedicated. What does God say? He says, you are miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayst be rich, and white raiment that thou mayst be clothed, which means purity in his sight. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that you may see. The problem is, once again, the denominational churches have forgotten the true way that God laid down with the apostles. With the teaching, the epistles that we read from Paul and Peter and others that were given by the Holy Spirit, they've long forgotten that. And they've replaced it with what they want to hear. Their itching ears have pleasurable things they want to hear instead of the hard things that need to be heard to save souls. And so when we're strong, very often we can be very weak as individuals. And I'll admit, this is something that's applied directly to my life. When I've had good times, I need to make sure that I remember who gave me those good times. And even right now, I feel really good about my life. And I don't need to forget to thank God for it. You know, we talked about the importance of the collection and what the purpose of the collection is. It's to take care of the needs of the saints. Where did all the blessings that we have in this country come from? God, of course. We prayed about that a moment ago. So remember, even though we may appear to be strong, we can be very, very weak in the sight of God, even as the Lord's church, even as a group of Christians who assemble to worship. We can be full of wickedness, and God knows it. So we need to not have any confidence in the flesh itself. And this is where, once again, people say that strength is popularity or a big bank account or that car that I drive. And that's strength in my sight. You know, in the world that I live in, when I'm really somebody, you know, people know who I am and they know my name and they know what I'm able to do. Well, God says don't have any confidence in the flesh itself. Look at Philippians chapter 3, if you turn there, please, and verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which means set apart, sanctified, special people, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. What it means is we know that Jesus died on the cross because of our sins, because of my sins. Jesus Christ hung on that cross for ours, gave his life willingly so that I might have a hope of heaven when I die. And so we know as Christians that it has nothing to do with ourselves, our physical anything. It's through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath wherefore he might trust in the flesh, I more. This is where he talks about all of his qualifications. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Blameless in the old law, which was a very strict law. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or rubbish, that I may win Christ. Whatever life Paul had before, when he was Saul of Tarsus, when he was the Pharisee, before that encounter on the road to Damascus, anything that was before that, he counted it all but loss. And some people would say, look at what you're giving up, Paul. Look at all the popularity you had as a Pharisee. Look at the knowledge that you had through your education. Paul says all of it is a loss if I don't have Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. It doesn't matter if you have a master's degree or PhD in anything. It doesn't matter if you're the world's greatest NBA or MLB baseball player or basketball player. It doesn't matter. God does not care. The only thing he cares about is, do you love what Jesus Christ has done for this world? That's the only thing that God cares about. Do you respect the sacrifice that the Father gave, willingly giving Jesus, slaughtering Jesus on that cross? Is that what you care about most in this world? No confidence in the flesh. We are to be poor in spirit. We are to be humble, gentle people. We are not to be like the world that we live in. We are not to have an insane temper when people disrupt our day. I saw that yesterday. People are just honking horns and being crazy. We are to be poor in spirit. We are to put others before ourselves. Every single person comes before me. That's the attitude that I should have. If I'm a husband, I treat my wife with respect. If I'm a wife, I treat my husband with respect. If I'm a child, I listen to my parents. Always. Okay? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. People, as we've said so many times, look at meekness as a weakness. I guarantee you, I work with people that feel that way. That, you know, if you're a meek individual, if you are considerate to others, they think, what are you doing that for? You know, you're wasting out on sales and promotions. You're missing the boat. Well, God told me otherwise. Meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I hope that even today, as you walked in this room, you were hungering and thirsting for more knowledge. When you walked in this room, it wasn't just a routine. It wasn't that I had to be here. It wasn't that somebody dragged me here and that I wish I was somewhere else. It was, I cannot wait to be here in this room with those that I love in this world. Those that want to see me get to heaven, and I want to see them get to heaven. That's what the church is all about. That's what saves souls, is when people are excited to be here and people see that who are visitors. When we come into this room and we sing hymns with all that we have within us, not just we've sung it 100,000 times and it's just another verse of another hymn that we've sang over and over again. No. Every time I sing that hymn, it means something to me more than anything I've ever done during the rest of the week. Poor in spirit. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Paul was merciful on the steps of the Antonian fortress. Jesus Christ was, of course, merciful while he was on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I have the absolute utmost respect for elders of the Lord's church. I really do. They have a tough job. And for them to strive to be good shepherds of the flock and to make peace and keep everybody safe and happy together as Christians without letting the world plague us with false teaching, that is a commendable responsibility. And we need to support them in that work, those who are in that position. Blessed are ye, verse 11, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. The time when you know, you turn on the news and people are saying things about the church, it should make us feel, in a sense, glad because we're still making an impact on the world where we are peculiar people. The things that we do not make sense to most of the world that we live in. When you turn on the news, Angel was watching something on CNN last night about Jerusalem, and they were talking about King David and King Solomon, and they couldn't have been farther away from what the Word of God actually says. They were basically saying it was Solomon's idea within himself to, you know, do that test with the two women and slice the baby in half. They thought that was Solomon's idea, all on his own without any help from God, and on we go. But they also said that Solomon wanted to build the temple to make a name for himself, which couldn't be further from the truth. So once again, rejoice, verse 12, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trampled, trodden underfoot of men. I think that's the way that a lot of us need to really look at ourselves. It has my salt lost its flavor? You know, perhaps we've been a Christian for many, many years, and perhaps it doesn't mean as much to us as it did before to be called a Christian, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. What can I do about that? Well, study and pray as much as you can to try and build yourself back up to where you want to be. Make sure that you don't forget God in your daily activities. Make sure you're a humble individual. Look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. If you turn there, please. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is Jesus saying here when he says these words? As we've said in our Bible class, I believe it was, when we were talking about the people, especially in the time of Jesus Christ, children are very simple individuals. You know, if they want something, they let you know that they want something. If they need to tell you something, they tell you something. If something needs to be done, they will definitely let you know. And so what it means for me when I read this verse is I need to be as free from the examples that I see in this world as possible when it comes to being like a little child. A little child does not have, you know, hatred towards someone, in a sense. They do not have envy and jealousy after somebody. All they care about is getting exactly what they're after, which is exactly how we should feel when it comes to Jesus Christ. Because I have learned that Jesus Christ is a Son of God, I don't need to make excuses and try and cover up, you know, my real genuine desire to become a Christian with, well, maybe people won't like it if I become a Christian, or maybe my family might, you know, have a problem with it, or maybe I might be made fun of at work. You know, children don't think that way. And I think we've talked about that in our Wednesday night class. You know, humility is a tremendous thing for me to strive after. But the last point I want to make with this lesson is that we are only strong. I hope all these verses have pointed to this, that we are only strong in Jesus Christ. The only person that ever came to this earth to live in this world to set that perfect example, and eventually to die as was planned on the cross, is Jesus Christ. I am completely dependent upon his sacrifice. If I don't read my Bible, I will never learn what Jesus Christ has ever done for me. And that's even after being baptized. I can call myself a Christian, but if I never open the pages of the Bible and truly study the way that God wants me to, I will never learn what Jesus Christ ever did, and it will never make an impact on my life the way it needs to. But if I Forget all the cares of this world. Simply take the time, whether it's in the morning or evening or when everybody's asleep, whatever time it is, when it's just you and God, that's how you can see the strength of the word itself that God has given us. We are only strong in Jesus Christ. We are completely dependent upon him. Look at Ephesians, if you will, chapter 6 and verse 10. Remember, the church at Ephesus had a tremendous obstacle, which was idolatry in the city. Everywhere there were idols. And these brethren had the choice to make. Are they going to follow the one true God and serve the one true God? Or are they going to look at the Temple of Diana up there on the hill? That's a natural, or not natural, a wonder of the world that people come from all over the world to see. Are they going to put their faith and trust in the statues that are lining the great library of Ephesus, where the word Sophia is written in Greek, where it says wisdom? Wisdom right there on the great big building that has idols all over it. The wisdom is when we let God into our life, let Jesus into our heart, and accept him as the one who died on the cross for us. But it's more than just accepting him. It's coming to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I cannot emphasize that enough. The churches of Christ today need strong Christians. Those who are dedicated to service, those who are dedicated to prayer, those who are dedicated to study. Statistically, since 1975, there's been over 1 million Christians that have fallen away from the Lord's church. There's been over 200 buildings, I believe it is. It's been a couple years since I saw that slide, but there's been over 200 buildings that have closed their doors. Churches of Christ have closed their doors. And the only thing I can think of is a lack of study. God says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And that's absolutely true. The only way we can be strong spiritually in this world is through Jesus Christ himself. So the lesson is yours. If you've seen what we've studied today and listened and read the verses that we've studied today, hopefully you see that God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And if you have not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we see multiple examples in the book of Acts of men and women who were converted. And every single one of those examples involved baptism. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's the plan that God has laid out in his word, by example, for salvation from your sins. There are people that say that sin doesn't exist, that hell doesn't exist, that Satan doesn't exist. Do not believe that lie. Do not believe people when they say that God is a loving God and he will never punish anyone. We all must stand before Jesus one day. And if we are not found worthy, which means baptized, we won't be able to enjoy the pleasures that are reserved for those who are faithful in heaven. The choice is yours. And for all of us, time is running out. If you need to be baptized this morning, please come while we stand and sing to encourage you. If you're already a Christian and struggling, please come forward as well. We'll pray for you and help you in any way we can. Everybody, please stand.